This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Alice Christina Corrigan is a visually impaired and neurodivergent artist, writer and access-led creative. She's the artistic director of La La Arts and shares her experiences of life, work and fashion on social media. And she's here today to talk about working as a freelancer. Hi Alice, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So you wear a lot of different hats in your work life. Can you give us an overview of some of the types of work you're doing at the moment?
Absolutely, yeah. I am an actor, writer and artistic director of La La Arts, which is a company I founded. And I also do a lot of work with integrated creative audio description and looking at how we can use creative access across theatre and TV. So that's a lot of consultations and working on different projects. That also, I'm the community program producer at Cryptic Arts. So many, many different hats, but I think they all luckily kind of really nicely tie together a lot of things that I'm passionate about. And I get to advocate for a lot of things that I think are really important with all of these different hats.
What was your route into working in access consultancy and the arts? Which one brought you here first?
Acting is like my thing. I think as a kid, like I just wanted to act. I think I found it like around like nine, like in school. And so I think quite early on, as much as like that was my way in, I knew that I wanted to work in the arts. I feel like even as a teenager, I had a pretty like level-headed view of what the future might look like and like real possibilities of creating a sort of a career within the arts. And so I did a degree in drama, which I think gave me such a nice, well-rounded idea of like different things I can do if I'm not acting all the time. I feel like acting is 5% of it if you're lucky, you know? So for me, it's so much more about that career for myself and I love creating things and being within this bonkers sector. I started really looking at access when I did my master's through my thesis, looking at how I can make theatre accessible for blind and deaf audiences in particular, because I think they are often two communities that get that clash a lot, and it's either like one or the other for a show. And I actually was like, well, how can we problem solve this? How can we find creative solutions to this? And that really began a real new chapter in my career and life, I'd say, because for the first like 20 years of my life, I feel like I was looking at it, my disability, my access needs as this additional thing. And actually, the more I found my creative voice to create a change, the more I felt empowered by it and felt like I could do something really important with it and creative as well.
What is a direction that things are moving in that makes you hopeful at the moment for either blind and partially sighted people who are acting or who are audience members?
It is a really exciting period that we're in that there's so much want for change. So there's always been a need for how we can create creative solutions, but it feels like now there is a real like a want for it. And I feel like I'm having such exciting conversations in a time where like a lot of funding's been cut, and it's a really difficult time for people to be working in this industry, to be completely frank. But actually what I found is that a lot of people, a lot of theatres, a lot of individuals, a lot of TV producers are really, production companies are really wanting to create better spaces for blind and vision impaired, partially sighted people. I've seen that a lot with castings, like really interesting characters as opposed to being centered around our disability, and to learn and engage and see what good we can do together, seeing it as an additional factor. A few years ago, I feel like the conversation was really focused around consultation, naturally, right, and training. And now it feels like visually impaired training, access awareness training, deaf awareness training, they're all so integrated within businesses or companies that people work for, that now we're getting to have more exciting conversations about what we do kind of on the ground. And that's something that is really refreshing, but also so different to, I think, the first few years of my career that were predominantly focused around training and consultation.
Yeah, I guess it's so exciting now that people have that sort of baseline knowledge. It can mean there's much more nuanced conversations and much more creative ideas because people have a baseline understanding and are more comfortable talking about disability, because I imagine that was a big part of the issue as well. People were very scared about how to have conversations and how to speak about it, and hopefully now that's changing.
Yeah, hopefully. I feel like we still definitely have a long way to go, and I think it's really easy to sit in like the disabled rage that we all like feel and want and need for change. And actually, like, I try to remind myself of all the good that has been done. Otherwise, oh my God, it will swallow me up. Because we want everything to be equal and to have the same opportunities. And so it's really nice that actually, if I look back, there's been so much really positive change that has come, and it opens the door to be able to have more honest questions. And I think especially for the partially sighted community, we're so far behind in really using our voices for advocacy and representation across like media, and being kind of the front line there going, hey, this is our experiences. And I think that then subsequently then creates change. And so it's really nice to see more representation of our community, because I think that will therefore and has led to some really great changes. And I think it will continue to people in this community are kind of feeling that same, like, we need to work together to create representation to then create the change.
What are some of the highlights and some of the stresses for you working as a freelancer?
Some of the highlights of being a freelancer is every week is different, and you kind of never know what opportunity is around the corner, and that can be really exciting. You get to be in so many different rooms on so many different projects and create your own future in some respects. And I think you get to hone in on a craft that you're building in so many different rooms with so many different people, that you learn so many different skills. I love that part of it. Some of the things that are quite difficult is you never know what's around the corner. You could be working towards so many potential projects that actually, if they don't land funding, what then? And you have to really find comfort in the uncomfy moments, in the chaos. As a freelancer, I feel like I spend a lot of my time behind a screen doing emails and all of that jazz, which no one really goes into this industry for, but it is part of it. The downside to that is you feel like you can at times be very disconnected from people, which, like I've said, is one of the highlights of it. I think art brings people together. So it can be quite juxtaposing when you find yourself working individually with a laptop and emails. But what that also does is creates a whole different plethora of skills. And I think the only reason why I was able to create my company is because through my career, I've learned how to do a load of things admin-wise, like spreadsheets. I used to avoid spreadsheets and budgeting and all of these aspects that actually now is so, so useful. But I definitely would say like that area of things, it has been was a real learning curve, and can be really difficult at times when essentially what you want to do in this industry is to create work and be working on fantastic projects and being on stage or on screen and with people. People are our community. And so, yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because actually those negative sides of things that can make it really difficult and I'm always really open and honest with that. But there are also some of the skills that have really paved the way for my career.
What do you think are some of the challenges for you as a visually impaired freelancer, and how do you get around things kind of like navigation? Or
it's so difficult when a lot of a freelancer's career comes down to how you show up. Essentially, like, we are our brand. How Alice shows up that day might open many, many different doors for me. So when access needs aren't met, or you're kind of met with ableist behavior, it's so tricky, because you want to be able to advocate for yourself, but you also know that you want to land more jobs. And it can be really difficult when routes aren't given to you for, let's say I'm in a rehearsal room, but that is really inaccessible to actually find the space, and or you've specified the font that you need on emails and it's constantly ignored and dismissed. those sorts of aspects can make it then really difficult to advocate for yourself when essentially your needs aren't being met from the get-go. But then the freelancer struggle of that is, how do I communicate my needs without it in the back of our head, without the anxiety of thinking it could have a negative impact on my career down the line? I feel like it's a feeling a lot of people have felt. It's such a universal feeling, I think, within the disability community and anyone that's kind of been marginalized by other people. But I think when your needs aren't met, and I think the best example is when you don't know how to get into a space or fonts that are used in really inaccessible ways. I think outside of getting to and from places, the technological world can be really difficult for a visually impaired person. Like, I struggle so much with eye fatigue, and it can be really difficult actually when I find a lot of my work is about how we can create creative solutions via technological devices to create creative access, right? So I spend a lot of time on sound design and making creative captions, but then that all involves software that can really hurt my eyes. But the difficult thing is, I love doing it. And so it's kind of factoring in how much it can really impact my evenings, and just looking at screens all the time is not good for anyone. But when you're visually impaired and you get sucked into a project that you're really enjoying, like editing or creating on my desktop, is the impact it has after that I don't think we talk about enough. And I think a solution to that is more accessible softwares. I've learned a lot of ways I can make like spreadsheets and how I write my plays like accessible, but the fundamental softwares, I really struggle with dark mode, but I know a lot of flashy sight people really, really, really like dark mode. I feel like I'm one of the few who I need light mode. I can't see dark mode very well. But a lot of software uses that as its baseline. So that side of things can also be really difficult to navigate as a visually impaired person. But I also think my neurodivergence can really impact it when, let's say someone sent me a load of information for a project and they use a very small font, but it's a big email or loads of documentation. It's not only can I not see it, but also I find that really hard to digest all of that information, which then is impacted because I'm trying my best to get through all the information, making sure I'm not missing anything. But because I'm struggling to see it, I'm worried I might miss some really important information. So really clear communication is a big thing. But it's a minefield out there. And I think it can really, I think the tech side of things and being able to use these softwares and understand budgeting and making it accessible to understand and read is a massive reason why so many places don't have visually impaired leaders in senior management, because they're not willing to kind of adapt their traditional formats of how they work to kind of tailor to our experience and what we need. And hopefully something I'm really passionate about changing through my work, through my freelance work.
Yeah, absolutely. That passion is so clear. And it sounds like you've spent a lot of time fine tuning that you've had to do because people have not been meeting your needs in the way that they do things. That sort of takes away some of the time from the actual work when you're having to constantly adjust and realign things.
Absolutely. I often say, like, I'm a translator. I feel like I go into these spaces, I do a lot of research, and I've just finished a Developing Your Creative Practice funded project where it was about my accessible leadership practice, where I got to really like deep dive into it. And it felt like I'm translating this world to then make it digestible for my community, because there has to be solutions to it. But then, yes, you kind of left going, I shouldn't have to do this, but we do have to do it to make it a better place for others. But yeah, it can be. I've felt the repercussions of that, to not have that time to be creative, but it's something that I'm really, really passionate about. And I hope that the work that I've started to do in regards to that will then make it easier for others to be able to navigate this industry and to really move up in their careers. How do we make sustainable careers for people, instead of just being tokenistic casting or being the token visually impaired person who's in the room because they needed to hit that like quota? Like, I want us to be the ones leading those spaces and being the pioneers for change, as opposed to helping others create a change but not actually doing it with us, you know?
And if people want to learn more about the many different projects you're working on or follow you as you share your work days, where are the best places for people to get in touch?
You can find me on Instagram. It's Alice Christina Corrigan. And I'm on TikTok as well with that, kind of posting all about what I'm up to and navigating this industry. And I have my company, Lala Arts. So you can find that again on Insta and TikTok. And my website is Alice Christina Corrigan. You will find me. Give me a little Google and I'll come up. But yeah, it's just my name. But yeah, do check me out, or open to always just chatting. And if anyone's got any questions or anything I can help with, please do reach out.
Well, thank you so much, Alice Christina Corrigan, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.